I enlisted in 2016, actually in the Oregon Guard as an MP. I was a split option trainee. So what that kind of means is like between my junior and senior year of high school, I went to basic training, came back from basic, and then finished my senior year, graduated, and then went to AIT.
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and welcome to Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by First Lieutenant McKenna Miller. So you're an aviation, you're a pilot, Black Hawk pilot, but you also work for Recruiting and Retention Battalion.
Yes.
You had a really awesome opportunity to go to D.C. with your spouse. You guys went, and one of her classmates was actually a classmate of Senator Joni Ernst's daughter.
Yes,
at West Point. So we'll talk about that. Sure, to kind of share her story about being in the Guard, and just appreciate you coming on and talking with us. So intro, background on yourself.
Sounds good. I enlisted in 2016, actually in the Oregon Guard as an MP. I was a split option trainee. So what that kind of means is like between my junior and senior year of high school, I went to basic training, came back from basic, and then finished my senior year, graduated, and then went to AIT.
So I think you're the first person I've had that was a split option. So really, not to throw another question in there real quick, how was that going back to school between your senior year and being like, yeah, I spent this year summer at basic training? Like, what was that like?
It was different, for sure, just because, like, you're coming from a completely different tempo and, like, professionalism back to, like, high school, where the maturity level is probably a lot lower. And so it's like a mental adjustment in that way. So I think that's probably difficult. But it's also like everyone else is trying to figure out what they're going to do post high school, right? What college am I going to go to? What job am I going to do? What trade? You know, in that case, when I already kind of had it figured out in a sense. So that was nice. Like I kind of took a relief of my senior year and just got to like enjoy it. So yeah, it was kind of the difference, I guess.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So sorry to interrupt your intro and background, but I was just thinking, I don't think we've actually talked to anybody who did the split option before.
So. I loved it. I thought it was a great opportunity just because like it takes a year off your contract anyways. And so it's an extra year time in service versus like waiting until you're 18, to go in the Guard or active duty from that point. Mm-hmm. So that's the benefit to that. You just learn a lot. Like you're a leader at RSP, which is nice. At least I was. Like I was in charge of a platoon. So like that leadership foundation at that early on in your career is, you know, really nice.
Yeah.
And you just learn a lot. So yeah. It's better than like, why wait? I say you're getting paid anyways too. You started your benefits early.
Not a bad summer job.
It's not a bad summer job. Like I enjoyed basic training. Like now that I'm removed from it, I think all of us have this like,
yeah, it wasn't the worst.
It wasn't the worst thing. If you've been through worse, especially now being in aviation, like going through SEER, that was worse. I wouldn't do SEER again, but I would go back to basic again.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll keep going intro and background. Yeah. Sorry to totally sidebar it.
No, so. Totally fine. When I graduated from AIT as an MP, I took a gap year, just because I really wanted to get the experience of being enlisted. I was told from a mentor, you know, right when I was enlisting, that the best officers are those that were enlisted prior, just because they understand at the lowest level what is, like, required of them. And so I took a year to basically just be a private in a line unit and be in a company and really take that for what it is and for what it's worth. So I was a member of SURFP, which is, I forget that, like, it's a long acronym at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically chemical something. Yeah.
Chemical like reaction force. So it's like, it's a team of National Guardsmen that that respond to like chemical or natural disasters basically. And it's a partnership that the Army Guard has with the Air Force and with the like Army. So that's that. I was on wildfires, so I got my red card certification. I went to national certification for riots as an MP, so that was really cool. I trained alongside like Las Vegas police, New York police. There's a national certification, so that was cool too. So like that year I really spent, you know, being away training. And then during that year I applied for the Minuteman Scholarship, the 4-year one. And so I ended up applying, receiving it, and then the following year I started college in ROTC.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school?
University of Portland.
University of Portland.
Yeah, so I went to a small high school. I was a class of like 90, and I was like looking at schools to go to like for college. And it just made the most sense to go to a small school. Like I didn't want to go to the U of O or the OSUs or the UWs. Well,
and the campus is beautiful up on the hill there, and you can overlook the whole valley.
How do you walk around that campus and not just like think
right.
It's beautiful?
Right. Yeah. We go there pretty often because the Blazers G League team actually plays at the Child Center.
Yeah,
It's a really beautiful campus. So.
I loved going to UP. I would really recommend it, especially in my case if it's expensive. And so the scholarship came in and paid 100% of my tuition, room and board, my books. So like I didn't pay a dime to go to a private Catholic college. I really enjoyed my time there.
No, that's awesome. So probably one of those random questions, you know, we all have our own guard story. How did you learn about the guard, being that you were only 16 probably when you joined and then had to wait to go to basic training? So
so it kind of was like a situation that I feel like a lot of high schoolers are sometimes in, where somebody else in my class had joined, and then Oregon did this really cool thing called guard for a day. And so they take, you can be a high schooler, like not signing anything at all. You can go and go to RSP for a weekend. And so I did that April 23rd, 2016, and then I had enlisted in May 24th, 2016. So it was like, oh, I really like this. This is my people. Like, I really liked what we did. I liked the culture. I was an athlete in high school, and so like that wasn't an issue of like passing a PT test, I guess. And I just really like, you know, when like you just fit into a group and it just kind of like all makes sense.
Yeah.
That's 100% the experience I had, just being in that environment of like wearing the uniform. So that's kind of how I guess joined, is I went to a guard for a day, really liked it, and then was really quick to enlist. And then
In less than a month.
And then like 10 days after I enlisted and like went to MEPS and did that thing, I was off to reception.
That's really fast. Yeah, I think I was very much the same, right? I graduated high school. I worked in a summer. I think I was just working for Parks Department, and started college and realized college is really expensive. Mm-hmm. I missed that team camaraderie piece. I was an athlete in high school as well. I really missed that piece. I think from the day I walked into a recruiting office to the day I signed up for the guard was less than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is something I just felt like I was missing.
So. Yeah, exactly. Like I just had like this internal like feeling of like, this is the right step. Like there was no hesitancy, no like thoughts of like, this is probably isn't the right choice. It was like, everything just kind of leaned toward that. And like, I remember my mom, she's like, McKenna, you've been talking about joining since you were like a little kid. Like you were researching how to join the Air Force, like in middle school. And she's like, this was not a surprise by any means that you were doing this. And I was like, oh, I guess you're right. I have been talking about doing this for a while.
So. Yeah. So was ROTC kind of on the plan, and then eventually becoming a pilot? Was that always a plan too?
Yeah. So during my gap year, I ended up doing like medevac training with a medevac unit down in Oregon. They just like took me along for the day to kind of shadow them. And at that point, I didn't know I wanted to be a pilot. I thought I wanted to do something medical, really, like on my civilian career. And I watched them, and I started talking to the pilots about like the social life of them being a pilot. And what that unit looks like, the climate of the unit, just coming from like NP, it's kind of different, obviously different than NP. Yeah. And so after talking to them and like talking about their work-life balance and the career opportunities outside of the guard with that certification, I was like, okay, this is probably something I really wanted to do. And I actually have a family member, a cousin that's a pilot in the Army already. And I'm talking to them, I was like, okay, this is something I probably want to pursue, which is what pushed me towards getting a Minuteman scholarship and going to college and ROTC and then boarding for an aviation slot.
Yeah. So how's, you know, obviously we see people flying around all the time. Did you choose Black Hawk, or was that kind of like something that was just given to you? Like, hey, you're a Black Hawk pilot.
Yeah. So the best advice I can give to somebody, which is kind of I'm trying to answer your question, but also the best advice I give to somebody going into a board is don't say your priority. Just kind of leave it to them to decide. So when they ask you, okay, what do you want to fly? I would probably say my answer back to them was, I will fly anything you want me to. I'm here to serve. I'm here to, you know, learn from you guys, wherever you guys see the best fit. And sometimes they push back on that and say, no, really give us an answer. And I still said, I was like, no, yeah. I have no preference. Because if you sometimes pigeon yourself into a certain corner, let's just say you say, I want to go fly Lakotas, right? Well, that's kind of pigeoning yourself into a hole of like, what if the Lakota unit doesn't have any spots right now? So now they're gonna either put you in a different unit where you said you don't want to go and then you're unhappy, or you have to wait for another like board date. So I said I would fly anything, but I definitely was preferential towards Blackhawks internally.
Did you start flying in Oregon Guard and then move up here, or did you just come to the Washington Guard when you commissioned?
So when I commissioned in 2022. Washington's board is before Oregon's board, and also I was born in Washington. Like, this was definitely where I wanted to be. And so once I found out that their board is like, it's like 4 or 5 months before Oregon's ROTC flight board, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go up to Washington and practice. And if I get a slot, like I'll get a slot. And I ended up getting one. And I was like, okay, it would be dumb for me to turn this down just to go to Oregon. Like, I'm from Washington. I want to serve Washington. It just made the most sense. Like,
And there's no hate on Oregon.
And there's no hate on Oregon at all.
Yeah, I absolutely love Oregon. It's the same,
Yeah, it is basically, it's the same flying. And, like, I love my time in Oregon, for sure. I definitely learned a lot being down there. But I feel like coming to Washington was again, the right move, like, internally, like, feeling-wise. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is, my gut was telling me Washington was where I was supposed to be at.
Yeah, and you were able to get a full-time position with recruiting or retention battalion. So what do you do there?
So I am the specialty branch officer strength manager for Washington. And so what that means is I hire and board all the AMED, JAG, and then chaplains for the state. So I run an office of now two. So I have two people that I basically manage that help me recruit, board, credential for all AMED slots. So it's all your PAs, all your doctors, all your nurses, things like that, mm-hmm. and then our lawyers and then chaplains.
So, because those are specialty branches, they always don't start as second lieutenants either. Some of those can come in. I think I've seen doctors start lieutenant colonel or higher even.
Lately, we've been putting in like a lot of like first lieutenants and captains, and like I think we have one major coming in here in the next few months. So it's all based on their like constructive credit. So their civilian education, their civilian work experience, and then also like sometimes in the very few cases, we have a current officer in the guard or officer active duty that wants to be a doctor, and we use that time and grade and time and service to build what rank they're going to come into as the guard.
So obviously there's the benefits, you know, of just normal joining, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a professional, let's say you're a doctor and you're like, hey, I really want to serve in the guard, they would probably come in as a major or lieutenant colonel even. Mm-hmm. Is there education benefits, like if they have student loans they can mm-hmm. get repaid and stuff like that?
Yes, definitely. So I'm not the incentives manager, but I'm trying to, let me see if I remember. I think it's up to $250,000 of loan repayment, and it's $40,000 a year, I think is what it is.
Oh, wow.
That they can get paid. And then they have a like retention or accession bonus that you can get. I think it's up to $25,000, depending. It's all depending on MOS and AOC that you are. But I think that those are our maxes right now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's those benefits. And then we also do med students. So med students can take something called, I think it's called STRAP. I forget the name of it. I think it's called STRAP, and they get paid a certain amount of money going to school, but that obviously adds on time. So I think for every 6 months of being on STRAP, you have a year added to your contract.
Okay.
So it's pluses and minuses to it all, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good benefit, too, right? Mm-hmm. If you come in and you have all this education and all this experience in the civilian world and you can bring it to the military, why not reward them in some way?
Exactly.
To retain them, too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's not like we're keeping brain surgeons and heart surgeons in the military mm-hmm. unless we're actually being competitive with the civilian world. And
exactly.
What they're getting, so.
And every guard unit, like, their incentives is different. So, like, Washington Guard, what they offer is different than Oregon Guard, and mm-hmm. it's different than what the reserves has to offer, as well as active duty. So I'd say for the person that wants to join and wants those incentives, definitely like ask the questions to the right people. I never steer somebody away from, you know, if the right thing for you and your family is to go join active duty because that benefit is better and it suits you better, 100%. Like I'm all for, you know, the person doing what's right for themselves, not just because I want you to join the Washington Guard, but because whatever is right for you.
Yeah, so. Nope, exactly. That is a good way of looking at it. We were kind of talking earlier, and really this kind of spawned because you and your spouse had a chance. You guys are married or just
fiancé,
engaged?
Just engaged. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep saying spouse. I couldn't remember if you guys are married yet or just engaged at the moment. So she graduated with Senator Joni Ernst's daughter at West Point, right?
Yes.
They went to West Point. Mm-hmm. And you guys had a chance to go back to D.C. and actually meet with her and go to a Senate Armed Forces Committee hearing.
Yes.
And actually got like a tour of the Capitol. So I'd love mm-hmm. to kind of talk about that.
Yeah. So Senator Joni Ernst invited my spouse and I, or I guess my fiance and I. Now you got me all confused.
Nah, sorry.
My fiance and I out to D.C. to basically just shadow her. For those that don't know a lot about Joni Ernst, so she's a former major, I think, or lieutenant colonel. Lieutenant colonel in the Iowa Guard. And so she was, her and I were talking like on the FaceTime one day. She's like, you should come out. Like, I would love to like sit down with you in person and like answer some of the questions you have and tour the Capitol and kind of see what we do here for our guardsmen, you know, back home. And so we went out there, I think back in April, and it was an amazing experience. you might not believe the same things as, you know, a lot of people, and that's okay. But just like seeing a woman of her caliber at that level, who is very similar to myself, you know, like female officer in a male dominated field, who, you know, left that and then is now a state senator. Like, it's just super inspiring, regardless of your own beliefs politically or not. So like, that was super cool. We got to tour the Capitol and go up to the dome, which is something you can only do with like an acting Congress member. So like, got to climb all the way up to the top, got the like a private tour of like all the history of it all. Got to sit down in a armed services meeting, which was, again, who gets to say they sat down in on
right.
a, like,
very few, I
very, know. Very few. And then her and I had a kind of like a really personal lunch where I got to ask questions that affected, you know, myself and my soldiers. And it was just nice to be able to ask those questions really directly, rather than like making assumptions of what, you know, the news states. So it's nice.
Yeah. And I think that's always something we talk about. It's like, hey, if you had a chance to talk to a member of Congress or the Senate, like, what are you going to ask them? What's that thing you want to, you know about, especially as a guardsman, right? Because we always think about stuff like benefits, right? Making sure we're on par. And one of the things we talked about was incentives for aviators, right?
Yes.
And that right there is an actual question that could affect your soldiers someday.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it has to just be, one, powerful, and two, kind of rewarding to be able to say, hey, I'm here to represent my unit, and not just my unit, but every guardsman with these questions. So
exactly. And that's exactly what it was like. And she was answered them exactly how, like, I wanted her to answer them, as, like, just truthfully and honestly. Because she's the one that votes on those issues that affect us every single day as guardsmen or as service members. So it was super nice. Like, I appreciated the conversation. I appreciated the invite out. And I learned a heck of a whole lot about, not the Guard only, but just, like, active duty Army and, like, what's offered there as like internships. Like, in her office, she has, I think, two or three currently serving like active duty members that are there doing like their 6-month internship with her.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so she takes in a couple people that are transitioning out to give them an internship while they're still serving, to work in her office and to learn and kind of get into politics.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to meet with a couple of those guys and gals about, you know, what they did in the Army and what they're doing now. And then we got to talk with somebody who did the program with her and is currently one of her, like, assistants, and is, so I thought that was a cool benefit, too, that she does.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me, you know, when we routinely go to D.C. for many years, we got to meet Senator Tammy Duxworth. Same thing, right? She was a guardsman, combat veteran. She got injured during a deployment. A helicopter pilot. So it's always kind of powerful when you get those chances to meet people that have served in the Guard and now have got that second calling to serve in a public setting as like a elected member. So
yeah, definitely. I would say it's incredibly inspiring. You know, a lot of people, they put in their time, that's kind of it, and then they go retire and do something completely different. When she did do that, but she did something that I think requires, her hours are crazy. Like, she had like a Senate hearing and she was there until like 2 a.m. and then flew back to Iowa at 6 a.m. to go and speak at some like volunteer organization for girls. Like, that's her every single day, is that. Like, we asked her, when do you get time off? She's like,
that doesn't exist here.
Like, and to do that for 2 years straight and then do like a follow on for anybody that's a lot. And that's crazy.
Yeah. Any other touring while you're in D.C.?
Yeah. I mean, we saw like the different museums. We went to the Space Museum. Also, we took like a tour around the memorial that was really cool. I mean, just being in D.C. is like, you know, makes your mouth drop sometimes. You're like, wow, this is...
It doesn't seem real sometimes with the architecture, yeah.
No, and then you like look at the Washington Monument and you're like, okay, why are the bricks a different color? And you Google like, oh, the bricks are a different color because they ran out or something like that.
Yeah, and you stand at the base of the Washington Monument and you look straight up and you're like, wow, this is really tall, and it's crazy to see. And the Lincoln Memorial is just phenomenal.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
So, it's one of those places you visit it so many times and you're still just, every time you're there, you're kind of like, wow, like, it doesn't seem real. It's kind of like the Grand Canyon, right? When you go to the Grand Canyon, it doesn't seem real. So any political future for you, or you're like, no, I'm good?
Probably not. I don't know. It's just I guess it would be fun. I think it'd be a fun job, but it just comes down to like the lifestyle, I guess. I don't see it being my lifestyle that I'd really want, but it looks cool.
I love flying.
It's great. I like flying, and it's just like the family aspect that really gets me. It's like seeing how much she's away from home and, you know, away from now her grandson, you know, like that must be hard. And that's not something that I foresee myself doing it all.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah. Anything else you want to add? Any kind of recruiting pitch for specialty branches? Go for it.
I don't know. Like, we're currently looking for emergency physicians. So if you're an emergency physician in the Seattle, Washington area, go ahead and give me a chat, and I'll give you my phone number too.
Yeah, we'll throw it in the notes, and we'll make sure everyone has it. So
yeah.
No, I just appreciate you coming on and sharing kind of your guard story, sharing your experience. We were kind of chatting earlier. We went down to Oregon on a flight last week and had a good laugh about that one when a helicopter wouldn't start up. So
it all
worked out, right?
Yes.
I mean, everyone got home. So
everyone was safe.
Yeah,
so
everyone was safe. Everyone got home. It tends to happen though. So no, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience and talking with us. If you like the video, give it a like. If you want to know more, we'll definitely throw some information in the notes about how to join on a specialty branch. It's AMED, JAG,
and Chaplain.
Chaplain.
Yes.
And an AMED is everything, right? It's doctors, nurses.
Doctors, nurses, any kind of physicians, things like that. We don't have every single MOS and AOC, which is like job here in the Guard, especially Washington Guard, but I mean, it's worth asking the question.
Yeah, it's always worth asking the question. So, and like you said, if it's not in the Washington Guard, maybe it's in another state. So,
exactly.
We'll definitely throw that information in the notes. Subscribe for future videos. And McKenna, I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, sir.